Every summer here in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Institution opens up America's Attic and reaches abroad to put on the Folklife Festival. It's a showcase of various folk cultures and industries from at home and around the world. This year, the festival highlights the culture of American food, the U.S. Forest Service, Latin music, and the Sultanate of Oman. And since most of you may not make it to Washington, D.C. before it wraps up next week, we'll bring it to you. Today, we start with the culture of Oman. On the rim of the Arabian Peninsula and at the crossroads between Asia, Africa, and the Mediterranean, Oman has surprisingly cosmopolitan culture, its strong traditional roots, and here to tell us more about it is Hamoud Al-Walabi. He is the presenter of the Omani exhibit and joins us from the Folklife Festival on the National Mall. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I understand that camels are a very important part of this exhibit. Tell us about the camels.
Okay, we told you about the camel. The camel is very important for the Bedouin life and for the people, some people who live in the city. The camels, we use it in the desert. When the Bedouin, they want to move from other area to other area, they put his equipment and the camels, and they're traveling over the desert. But the camels is very clever. The camels is very clever and can carry about between 300 kilo to 400. The Bedouin is used from many years ago when they're traveling from south of Muscat to north when they're going to the capital area. Every 3 months, every 6 months, they can go to for the date. The camels, with the camels, they take 16 days to traveling to get to Madhabi.
It's a formidable beast. You can join our conversation. I'm talking with Hamoud Al-Wahibi, who is at the mall right now. We had an exhibit on Omani culture. If you have a question about Omani culture, call us at 800-989-8255, 1-800-TALK. And I understand that the Omani exhibit almost got lost. What happened?
Before yesterday, that camel is run away, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that is camel is because he's nervous. That is, we have two camels here from Texas. That camel is, I think he's never had to have a training. Is the difference between?
His Texas camels aren't as reliable, are they?
Yeah, we bring it from Texas here, not from Oman. These two camels, and after that, I think with some man is a make photograph and make a flash. When they make a flash, is to try the camels is a little bit run away, not far away.
I can understand. I would imagine that it's pretty difficult to bring them into this environment, and keep them kind of steady.
No, it's the camels. It's nothing different between the camel and the man. It's a little different. The camel is very clever, but we have a space here and where we put it now. We have a very good area and we have all safety area for the camels. It's nothing a problem. We bring it here for the people to see how is the camels and how the Bedouin is put the camel with him. It's the camels is very nice. We call is the sheep of the desert.
The ship of the desert. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio with Hamoud Al-Wahibi, who is with the Oman exhibit at the National Mall, part of the National Mall and the Smithsonian's Folklife exhibit. I understand, too, that a very important part of the camel is not just its ability to carry lots of stuff long distances, but the way the camel is decorated and adorned. Tell us about that.
See, the camel, we use it for many things, not only for the carry thing. We use it for the racing camel in the Arab country. The camel is very fast, and the people, they make a business about the camel, and the camel is very expensive. The camel is a cost. Is a racing camel is a cost about maximum is $400,000 for one camel, for the racing camel. The fast one, who the camel is take from 6 kilometer, can take the time is 9 minutes and 3 seconds. The fast camels. We have three type of camel. One we use it for milk, one we use it for traveling, and one we use it for the race.
So they're all, and have they been bred differently over centuries then?
Yeah, it's a different. See, the one for breeding, the breeding, when the camel in the breeding, we put it in near the house. is only for breeding, to get the baby and mm-hmm. milk and everything.
And well, you talked about a camel, a good racing camel, costing $400,000 to buy. And, of course, they're famous for not needing a lot of food and water. But I guess when it is time to feed them, is it expensive? Are they expensive to keep?
Yeah, it's expensive. The camels, it's very, very expensive. It's almost the people in Arab country, they use the camels, almost. Because, see, the camels is very expensive in Arab country, like in Saudi Arabia and UAE. And Abu Dhabi, UAE, and Oman also, they can use it now everywhere. But now we ride the camels. Now we change the system. Before we use a child. Now we use is 14 years old who ride the camels.
Wow. So and are they sort of specially trained?
Yes, it's specially trained. We make a train for 3 years. After 3 years, we go on to enjoying the racing camels.
Amoud, I want to go to the phones now, and Andrew is on the line with a question. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
Fine.
My question is actually, it dovetails with this, with talking about the racing camels. It's about horses. It seems that the Arab people really seem to respect horses as well, and I was wondering what is
I will tell you what the difference between the horse and the camels, you mean?
Well, I mean, you know what the difference, I know what the difference between a horse and the camels, but why do some people, do the Omanis or other people tend to respect the horses more, or?
No, we respect the camels more.
Okay.
He respects the camel more.
Thanks, but I guess part of Andrew's question, too, is that certainly in Arab life, the horse is very closely associated with that. Is there a difference, I suppose, geography and climate may have to do with whether you may use horses more than camels?
No, yes, we have some people who in the city, they use the horse, but not many horse. Each house, maybe they have one. They have some people, they have two, some they have null. But And outside the city, almost the people is use camels. They have the camels. It's a lot of camels.
And it's...
example, I have 37 camels, and I put it in a desert. Some is for training, for the racing camel, and some camels for traveling, and some for milk.
Have you been answering many questions? How has it been to be on the mall and talking with, I guess, mostly Americans?
I have many people here. It's become thousands of people. And I explain to him how is the camels, why the camels, why the people is use the camels, how the camels is stay without water, how many time they need water, can how many carry the kilo, how many kilo can carry, and the camels, how the camel is listening to the man. I said, yes, the camel is nothing different between the man. Since they're born, the camels, when they're growing up, you can try to teach them to standing, go and come and come back. And that is like the man, you give them the training. But they need about 6 months, 9 months.
Is there any particular, what about the camel as wealth? Would it be used as part of a dowry? Is it a sign of wealth to have a lot of camels?
Wait, the girls, you mean?
Yeah. Would it be part of a dowry, for instance?
I don't know.
A dowry, a gift of the bride to the groom's family for...
Yeah. When you bride the camels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you bride the camels, you will listening for the good meal. The good meal with the Arabs, see, with the Arab country, and very fast, all the people, they take their camel to breeding in that female.
Is there any particular point that you want to get across to your American audiences?
No.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Hamoud.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed.
Hamoud Al-Wahibi is a retired camel enthusiast and presenter at the Omani exhibit at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. Tomorrow, I'll look at food culture in the cafeteria with Chef Alice Walters. I'm Frank Stachow, NPR News in Washington.